Okay, this is continuing with side three of talking with Lex Mueller on 23rd August, 73. Okay, now I was just trying to get straight the receivers.
So there has to be a two-channel receiver, then an eight-channel receiver with these elaborate IR switching, and bandwidth switching, and also spacing could be switched. And narrow spacing, I think 50 kc and 200 kc spacing for total profiles. And that finally was moved into what is it, 20 channel receiver with only two spacing, I think. 10 or 20, fine. I have to look it up.
Well, I can check that.
You can check that. And then that was a somewhat more simpler design, but a more automated receiver in which various receiver parameters were controlled by a set of dump reel switches, which were also digitized positioning dump reel switches and could be put on paper tape.
I see.
So that was one of the information put on the paper tape for how the receiver was operated. And the whole control of the receiver was done by changing a switch in the subfield switches. You also had calibration procedures built in. Took another number on the subfield switch, and you had calibration going on with noise sources and so on. It was a rather automated final receiver. The eight channel went before that, but had already some of those facilities by electronic switching of bandwidths jointly for all the eight channels and so on. So that was a sort of back end. Development that had been going on. And front end was the parametric.
It was apparent, and that was put on, you say, in 63?
I think it was some 63, yes. And I think that worked all right, straight from the beginning.
And that was amongst the first parents that were used.
Yes, the first stable ones, I think.
Because, of course, Brian Robinson took his back.
Yeah.
And where else was the... Were parents
well, probably
if anywhere else.
In the States, so some development was going on, but they, at that time they had a name for being unreliable and unstable, and so on. But I showed it that was necessary. You could have a good parent.
You just had to be careful.
In total power, for instance, the receiver was there was no degradation at all. The stability of the receiver, having to put parent on or off.
I see.
So that's the parent state in contributory instabilities and so on. There were, I think, slightly more zero line problems because of the negative resistance properties of the parent. But in general, that would have worked all right.
And I guess also you had decided against masers for even stronger, the same sort of reasons.
That had already been decided in Robinson's time. Robinson had been in the Leiden group on Maser, and then Params came up, and we decided we should shift to Params for 21 centimeter. It was quite clear from the year or so on Maser work that this was going to be something to really Maser with all the cryogenic equipment and so on. But probably we could slightly worse. That's still quite an improvement by going to a room temperature parent. Yeah.
Okay, so then I guess the next shift after the paramps at Gungala was to think about the Westerwark receivers.
Yes.
That's when you became directly involved in Westerwark.
Yes.
Let me ask you, by the way, who's the best person to talk to firsthand about the whole Benelux Cross thing? Now, I've talked to Ort, but of course he's not very talkative.
Gus has been involved for quite a while. And he's probably the longest with that group.
Okay.
But he didn't. Well, he came in rather early, I think. Yes.
But then you became involved in about 65?
In 65, around that time, was tricked into being the project leader for the Westerwark receivers and jointly with Hawkheart for the telescope. So
And receivers includes the whole back-end logic and everything?
Yes. Except for instance, the logic involved in reading the scales of the telescopes. That's not my part, right. That's Ockham's part. And that's one of the reasons why they're separate in the final building.
I see.
It also shows the sort of developments in the building.
Well, can you just tell me briefly how that went? I say briefly because I think I'm going to end this history somewhere in the mid-60s. It begins to get too huge a thing, and it seems to me to be a convenient cutoff. Nevertheless.
Well, I try to spend one or two days a week in Leiden, but I don't think that worked too well. You couldn't spend enough time on the Leiden group, really, and that ended later on that the Leiden group was more put under Kaster's heading. I was only the sort of general project leader, and it also meant that me becoming a project leader, that a lot of more work was going to be done in Lingemar. For that time, all the work for the cross had been a Leiden affair.
I see.
But now there was a shift in activities. Lingemar also started to devote his time almost entirely to the new project.
And you began hiring a lot of people, I suppose.
Yes, we started hiring people, increasing the size later on for the production, because the whole production of the affair was done in Ringelow. Leiden was meant near, was more a development lab. I think Cyril Murray was quite an important man there. He brought ideas from Frater and so on into the lab from Australia. Contacts with Christensen has always been quite lively at that time, and there were various people from Australia over, like still Wellington still there. Before that, Cyril Murray spent two or three times a year at Leiden, and he was quite a good man, quite a man also for his interest for detail and accurate measurements and so on.
Well, what were the basic decisions that had to be made?
One of the first decisions was to set up a block diagram of the whole receiver equipment. There was a decision now of the 11 telescope, later 12. Now it also had to be decided what was going to be the equipment that was going to be in, and what the block diagram for the interferometers that it consisted of. And there we based our design to quite a degree, I think, on the experience we had in polarization measurements. Because that was one of the other activities that had come up in Ringelow. H-line had come up, but later on Siegert continued his normal continuum work. And he started, before he left, doing the first 75 centimeter polarization, linear polarization measurements of the background, and I took that over after he left. And in Ringelow we developed in those years a whole set of receivers going down from 75 centimeters of the Sponden megacycle, 610, 890, and 1400 megacycles. It was a series of front ends with more or less the same back end for doing polarization observations, the work from Rao and Tinbergen.
Right, requiring good stability.
Good stability.
Which you also needed at Westerbork.
Yes. And it was a correlation type receiver. So essentially, you could say it was an interferometer receiver, but with cross dipoles in one reflector. So we had experience from those receivers, this correlation receivers. And we had experience on 21 centimeter with perhaps. So we put up the final block diagram and decided that that we were going to have perhaps in. And that was quite a decision, I think, at that time. Because, we had one good working, but really to say now we're going to put in 2022 or later on 24.
something else.
Really have faith in that was quite a thing. And you have to see that in its own perspective at the moment. You say, well, you want better ones, and the stability or the sensitivity wasn't quite what you want now, but at that time it was quite a decision to do it. So that was, I think, one of the first things we did. I have drawn the final block diagram, put it for the whole group, and then we have divided tasks. Like I was going to make the IF parts, I was going to build the front ends and the low frequency parts. Others were involved in computer,
Raymond
and Umbral and so on. Well, then it really started.
Yeah.
Prototypes were being built. And
What would you say are the unique things that were at Westerbork relative to the Cambridge array?
The approach was different, I think. We really based the machine on doing it with the computer. It was really, you could say, a receiver that was is a central part of the computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's being steered by the computer.
That's right. That's true.
And that's,
In fact, I was very surprised. I'd only been to Cambridge the first time a month ago, and find that the telescopes there were so crude.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Cambridge was a rather crude affair. And, that's a different background than that was a university group, not specifically oriented into techniques and so on. Mm-hmm. So,
well, Martin Roy likes to do everything for as cheaply as possible.
So. Yeah. And we had a different approach. We had a lot of money available, so we didn't have to worry so much about doing it the cheapest way. And so we decided we'll do it the best way.
Right.
And I always felt that it's worthwhile in an instrument just not to sacrifice anything, and see whether we can get what we want, and really get theoretical improvement.
Right.
We were quite close to that.
Well, that was certainly one thing I agree with you, with computer control of the overall operation, calibration,
and
everything.
Yeah, and just get it as good as possible. Not a lot of work has gone into getting phase-stable equipment, phase-stable cable systems, phase-stable IF amplifier, because we felt phase was going to be the thing that was going to be unstable, and the rest you could actually regulate, but the phase was going to be the thing. A lot of work has gone into that, and I think it just paid off.
Oh yes, I agree with you. Well, Westerbork has worked beautifully right from the very beginning. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And the project went really, if you look back, rather well. We didn't have much delay, perhaps less than a year or so, in the first 5 years.
20% delay is pretty good.
It's a pretty good good thing. So that's perhaps the story.
Yeah, well, I think, unless you can think of anything that you'd like to say, then it's a pretty complete summary of the... from your viewpoint,
it's probably incomplete because I haven't given it much thought, and it's just things coming up at the moment I talk. So probably there may be something missing, but I think the general picture is there.
Well, thank you very much.
It started with a very limited group, really. And for a long time, really, actually. The first couple of years, only a few people, really, two or three men. Later on, it grew up to about 20, I think, in 65. Mm-hmm. The large growth has been after that.
Well, thank you very much. That ends the interview with Lex Mueller on 23rd August, 73.